but the fruit of the Spirit. So this lets me know that I have to be filled with the Spirit. I have to be walking with the Holy Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. See, because if I get out here and start talking about I am the storm, right, and I don't have any love in my heart, then what's going to happen? I'm just going to be running over folk. I'm just going to be crushing folk in the ground. I'm the storm. Get out of my way. I'm the storm. Right?
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of I Am the Storm. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of I Am the Storm.
Chapter 2 and verse 3. Wow. Thou, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Endure hardness. That is not easy. Y'all always give the example, and I know I've given it before, that guys in the military, right? And when they get stationed in one of these places, freezing weather, right? Russia or somewhere in the Arctic. And all they got is a tent and a sleeping bag. And they have to go out there and build this tent on the ice and sometimes the snow and put something under. But they're out there. And you know what? The only way you're going to make it through is that you got to be a hard brother or sister. You got to be able to endure hardness. You know, a lot of times, I make no bones about this, and I'm saying this. I realize this is going out on TV, and I know this is going out, at some point, it's going to go on the radio. So I'm just going to say this, that, you know, I complain about Pittsburgh being cold, and I don't like the cold weather. But you know what? I'm becoming more and more convinced that Pittsburgh really is not that bad. You know, it's really not that bad. You know, when I think about fires and mudslides on the West Coast, I think about hurricanes and floods in the South. You look at the middle of our country, I look at floods and tornadoes. I look at the eastern part of our country, hurricanes. And then in the wintertime, you go up to New England, and they got those nor'easters, right? I'm really convinced that Pittsburgh is not that bad, you know? And so I'm resolved to complain less about the cold now because I know sometimes, you know, when you get out there in the wintertime and snow and you know, you got on your nice clothes, right? And you get out and you brush against your car, and then now you got all this stuff on your car, on your pants. Shoes got salt on them, right? And then you get out here and you try to run from your car to wherever you're going. Right? And so I got a thing that I tell myself when winter comes. Endure hardness like a good soldier. You just got to endure it. You just got to suck it up and endure it. And so if we're going to be a soldier, a warrior that says, I am the storm, then you got to be able to endure hardness. You can't be a wimp. You can't be a softy. Right? There's got to be something hard about your spirit that says that, man, I really can't stand, I really can't take what's going on, but I'm going to suck it up and I'm going to endure and I'm going to be hard like a soldier. Why? Because I am the storm. I am the storm. You know, the devil says you can't take it. You can't withstand the storm. No, let me tell you something. Right? The devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for a stole to steal. I am the storm. I am the storm. So the soldier has to have a mindset of discipline, determination, and be durable. As I close, let me give you the I am the storm, personal scriptural affirmations. So this is what I recommend. I recommend that maybe you copy this down and put it somewhere for the next time that you go through a storm, so that you can say these affirmations, these personal affirmations. Affirmation number one, I must depend on Christ. It's as plain and simple as that. I can't have the big head. You know, I can't be out here saying that I am the storm and have my chest poked out and be bragging about I am the storm. No, it's not me. You know, it's like the guy who came in town, and he had a lion's tail, right? And he was waving this lion's tail all around and said, look, look how bad I am. Look how bad I am. He said, look, I cut off the tail of a lion. You know, who else can do and brag about something like that? Who else can say that they cut off the tail of the lion as he swung it around? And somebody said, well, if you're so bad, how come you didn't cut off his head? He said, because somebody already did that. It's easy to cut the tail off a dead lion, right? It's easy to cut the tail off of a dead lion. But we can brag about what we did. But anything that we do has to be done in the power of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am the storm. Secondly, and this is important right here, because see, again, you can get out here and start saying that you are the storm, and you can get poke out your chest and begin to say what a good person and what a powerful person you are. But this has to be regulated by the fruit of the Spirit. Let's look at Galatians 5. Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit. So this lets me know that I have to be filled with the Spirit. I have to be walking with the Holy Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. See, because if I get out here and start talking about I am the storm, right, and I don't have any love in my heart, then what's going to happen? I'm just going to be running over folk. I'm just going to be crushing folk in the ground. I'm the storm. Get out of my way. I'm the storm. Right? No, you got to have some love in this thing. And even though you're the storm, you got to realize that the love of God in your heart causes you to be considerate and attentive to other people. That love, that I am the storm, but love guides it. Joy. I got to have joy. I just can't be walking around with a boastful attitude talking about I am the storm. I got to have joy in my heart and say, praise God that he's with me and that he is going to deliver me in the midst of the storm that I'm going through. Peace. That I got a peace. That no matter, you know, while I'm going around talking about I'm the storm, my circumstances might not change. Right? I mean, the people in Houston that's back in their houses doing what they got to do, and the people that still can't get to their houses yet, they could be talking about I'm the storm all that they want. Yeah. Right? And that's good. But you better have some peace in your heart. And you better know, hey, no matter what happens on the outside, that nothing can take my peace on the inside. That this joy, that this peace that I have, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. You know, I have an overwhelming peace. Couch, flooded, soaked. Living room, toxic. Throwing all my stuff out on the curb. But I got peace. Now, let me ask you a question. And I thought about this. What else can you have? I mean, seriously, what? You can get depressed. You can get discouraged. You can get down and out. But what is that going to change? It's not going to change absolutely nothing. It's not going to change anything. But the only way that you're going to make it through is with peace, knowing that God is going to take care of the situation. Oh, I gave the, you know, I know after 27 years that, you know, there's a lot of illustrations that I gave. And I got some favorite ones. You know, the choir, they got some favorite songs that they sing, right? So let me have a couple favorite illustrations that I like to tell, right? Right. You heard about the king that commissioned the painters to paint pictures of what perfect peace looks like. And so the two painters painted these pictures. And the first painter came to the king, and he painted a picture of a lake that was serene, with the sun over top of it, the shadow of the trees, not a ripple in the lake, just a nice, peaceful, serene situation. Oh, the peace. And then the other painter, he painted the picture of a looming storm on the horizon, lightning and thunder, dark clouds, and now the rain beginning to pour in part of the picture. And on the side of a mountain, hanging from a branch that was sticking out of a cliff, was a bird. And the bird was sitting on the branch with his eyes closed and almost trembling a little bit. And somebody said, well, which picture won? They thought for sure it would be that first one. It was the second one. And somebody said, well, why did the second one win? Because it's easy to be peaceful in pleasant situations. It's easy to be peaceful and when everything is calm. It's easy to be peaceful when everything is at peace. But that's another hand when you're in the storm and the lightning and the thundering is all around you and the rain is pouring down and you're on the side of the branch and you're sitting there with your eyes closed. That's peace. That's peace. And when I got that kind of peace, I can look up at the thunder. I can look up at the lightning. I can look up at the rain. I can look up at the ice. I can look up at the snow and say, I am the storm. I am the storm. You might think you're the storm, but I am the storm. Well, let me, because I can preach all day. I got a whole series on the fruit of the Spirit. But long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control or temperance. You know, you got to, when you say, I am the storm, you got to be regulated by the fruit of the Spirit. Or you'll get off in the areas with your ego and your pride, and you'll end up saying things and doing things that you got no business doing. But when you can regulate this thing with the fruit of the Spirit, then you're all right. You're all right. The third thing, I do not have to contend with the devil. He got to contend with me. See, I mean, we got this thing wrong. Oh, man, the devil beat me up. Oh, I'm running from the devil. Oh, man, the devil was powerful. Oh, the devil is a liar. Oh, the devil is this, the devil. Man, we're looking at the thing from the wrong perspective. You know, as a matter of fact, when you study the Scripture, you know, and I know there's a lot of people that don't agree with this, but nowhere in the Scripture does it say for you to go and confront the devil. It says to resist the devil. You know, there's one place where James says to flee, right? And the implication there is from the devil. You are told to put on the armor of God and stand against the devil, right? So, you know what? The devil is not my problem. I mean, he is. But, you know, I should not see him as the focus of my problem. You know, and the fact of the matter is, look at this. All right. Now tell me how this fits into your theological dictionary. the fact is, if you're not doing anything and you're not a force in the kingdom, then why should the devil want to even mess with you? Right? I mean, he might just keep you in bondage to whatever you're in bondage to. He might just keep you fooled. He might, as it says in, Paul said in another place, he might keep the eyes of your mind blinded. He might do that. But why in the world would he launch an all-out assault against you if you're not doing it? You're not a threat to him. He's not going to launch an assault against you. But who is he going to launch assault against? People that are active. People that are doing stuff. And so, once I begin to threaten, once I begin to be a threat to the kingdom of darkness, then guess what? I don't have to contend with the devil. He got to contend. He got to contend with me. Right? Now he won't come. He's going to come. But why is he coming? He's coming because I'm putting a dent in the kingdom of darkness. Because I'm promoting the kingdom of God. You know, thank God. It just thrilled my heart when Mildred called me and said that Bethany has been selected to receive the award for community excellence in Homewood. I was like, oh, wow, right? And watch this. I began to think back. And I said, well, you know what? It's not because of Pastor Glaze. It's not because of me. But it's because of y'all. Right? I mean, we got so many ministries in this church that touches the community. I mean, there's people every day in this building just about from the community, which is why we're here. You know, I think about the fact that, you know, we've opened up our building for the police to come in and do things, for community people to come in here and have meetings where they, you know, might not have had another place. And why are we doing that? Because we want to have an impact on the kingdom of darkness. And as we impact the kingdom of darkness, guess what? We don't have to contend with the devil, because he's going to come after us. He's going to come in. And so that's why we have to be on our P's and Q's. That's why we have to be prayed up. That's why we have to be submitted to the word of God. So that when he comes, when he tries to tear us down for what we're doing against his kingdom, that Jesus said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church. That Bethany Baptist Church, is the storm. We are the storm. And when you think about it, again, now notice all the stuff that I've said, we got to depend on Christ. We got to have the fruit of the Spirit. You know, we can't let this thing get out of control, out of balance, but we are the storm. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm going to be done. I didn't plan on preaching this long to my first Sunday back. I'm not. I want to have some voice, you know. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 12, Paul said, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Now, we don't know what Paul's thorn was. We can get into all type of speculation, but the bottom line is that we don't know what it was. But the one thing we do know, that it was a messenger of Satan to buffet me, to beat me up, lest I should be exalted against above measure. Now go back to my slide, and I do not have to contend with the devil. Look at this. Paul didn't have to contend with the devil. The devil he came after him, right? He came after him. Why? Because Paul was the storm. He was the storm, and the devil had to contend with him. When you come here and you serve in ministries that touch other people's lives, that affect this community, guess what? You are the storm. You are the storm. And the devil's going to do everything he can to discourage you, defeat you, and to get you to throw up your hands and quit. But I like the last part, and it's this, that I am the disturbance in the atmosphere. Whatever atmosphere is around me, I'm going to disturb it. I'm not going to be a troublemaker. I'm not going to be a rabble-rouser. I'm not going to come at it because I'm trying to beat folk up. But whatever that atmosphere is, that I'm going to disturb that atmosphere. You know, you think about here in Homewood. I know, again, when I first came here in 1990, up on Rosedale and Tioga, the biggest drug corner in the city of Pittsburgh. Everybody knew about Rosedale and Tioga. Down the other end of the street, prostitutes. I had to drive my car. You know, I'm a pastor. You know, I want to be friendly. I want to wave to people. Right? I had to wait till I got past Russian to start waving. What? people get the wrong idea. Right? And then not only that, but the gangs. We had all kind of gangs around here. Every night, it seemed to me, just about, somebody was getting shot. Somebody was getting killed. I remember Pastor Matt Gray. You know, he got us together, and we started going out, praying on the corners, witnessing the folk. Then I look at, you know, how that we began to continue that on with Brother Andy Lane, and then even Brother Scott and TL and them, you know, going out. And when you think about all the things that we do now to open up and invite people in here, we disturb the atmosphere. I'm not just saying Bethany now, because there's other churches in Homewood, and they was doing it too. So, you know, churches and community people, don't let me leave out the community people. But we disturb the atmosphere. I'm not saying everything is gone. But Rosedale and Tioga is not famous for drugs now. Tioga and Brushton is not famous for the prostitutes now, right? I don't see the proliferation of the gangs. So somewhere, the atmosphere has been disturbed, because we are the storm. We are the storm. And so when Paul gets in and he says, for this thorn in the flesh, verse 8, he said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And God said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now look at this. Paul said, look at it. You know, all Paul, I am the storm. I am the storm. He said, bring it on. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, because I am the storm. In reproaches, because I am the storm. In necessities, because I am the storm. In persecutions, because I am the storm. In distresses, for Christ's sake, because I am the storm. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Because I am the storm. It said of the eagle that it has a powerful ability to sense when a storm is coming. And when the eagle senses that a storm is coming, it doesn't run and seek for shelter. It doesn't go and hide. But the eagle allows the currents from the storm to cause it to soar above the storm. And so while the storm is going on, the eagle is soaring above the storm. Would to God that when storms come in our lives and the devil says you cannot withstand the storm, that you would be a warrior and you would reply, I am the storm, and I can fly above any storm that comes in my life.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time as Dr. Glaze continues to encourage us to anchor our souls in Jesus. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, I Am the Storm, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request I Am the Storm. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request I Am the Storm. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.